Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's June 27 regular fellow city council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short invocation? And I'd like you to, in your own way, ask for blessing upon this city and wisdom for the council as we make our decisions tonight. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, moving to item 1.4 is roll call, and all council members are present except for Larry McCourty, who had a conference to attend. And so I would entertain a motion tonight to excuse Larry McCourty.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 1.5, citizen input. Is there anyone here in the public who would like to make to address the Othello City Council? Please raise your hand. Oscar?
Mr. Mayor, I just got a quick question regarding the...
Would you like to step to the microphone, please? Thank you, Oscar.
Good evening, Council. Oscar Garza, 14th, 16th Avenue, somewhere around there. That's where I live. Are you guys going to talk about the pipe that's going on over there by the new project on the Garza Enterprise land?
Columbia Street?
Is that
our last meeting? We talked about that in our last meeting. I think I don't think it's on the agenda.
It's the Columbia Street.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to talk about that today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And that'll be open for questions regarding that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll be open.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Then I read that.
Okay. Item 2, approval of agenda.
I'd like to move 3.3 to current business to discuss that.
We have a motion made to move item 3.3 to current business.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move 3.3 down to 4.8. Anything else on the agenda tonight? Entertain a motion to approve our agenda as amended.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Our consent agenda has been amended with just items 3.1 and 3.2. Entertain a motion to approve those.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, and at 6:34 p.m., I'd like to open the public hearing on the six-year transportation improvement plan for 2017 to 2022. And who is going to take the lead here?
Kurt.
Okay.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. I was going to go over the six-year transportation plan. I'm going to spend most of my time just talking about the modifications from the previous six-year plans that you guys have looked at. So, as you know, as things get done, we shift those up, and then we sit down with staff and reprioritize, look at those projects. Priority one is the First Avenue SR 26 to SOTA. This project has been funded, will be designed over the fall and winter and go out to bid first thing in the spring. It includes a reconstruction of the roadway, kind of a grand overlay, what you saw on First Avenue, ADA updates, and some stormwater improvements. priority two. The first phase of the First Avenue construction was the first three blocks that we did up there on the north. We got funding for the SOTA to SR 26. This fall, we're going out for another TIB application to do that gap from SOTA to Spruce. It'll include, again, a grind overlay, ADA ramp updates, and stormwater improvements. Oh. Priority three is Lee Road, Broadway to 14th, and this hopped up a few places from the previous transportation improvement programs that you've seen in the past, primarily due to its condition. In addition to that, there's been additional facilities constructed there. It's understood that there's going to be some activity in the property over here, and we really feel that this is going to be one of the priority projects for the street projects for the community going forward. It's pretty expensive. Does this have a label too? Oh yeah, awesome. Primarily because there's a low area right here and there's no storm drainage, so when they have rain events it comes in here. Reconstruction of the project will require some raising of the road. We're looking at probably a CTB section, which is a cement treated base section to substantiate the subsurface soils in the area for the excessive truck traffic. There's a center turn lane about halfway down. We're going to extend that center turn lane and also put a right-hand turn pockets onto 7th, looking at stormwater and sanitary sewer improvements for the full length. Any questions?
That's all a great idea. Well, Lee Road right there, if you're going to build it up, is that circle going to flow? Or are we going to have to, is that going to have to be pumped as far as the sewer?
Stormwater?
Or the sewer?
Sanitary sewer?
Do we know which direction you're going in?
No, I don't know yet. I will say that we've talked about mapping the existing collection system, and I was going through the records with Doug last week, and he actually found that in 2002, somebody went through the town and measured down in every manhole in town. So we did recover those records, and that's going to save, I don't know how long, popping manholes and measuring down. So that was a pretty significant find we had last week. But that's going to start building the hydraulic model so we can find out where we can take the sanitary sewer.
Okay. How about the stormwater off of...
Same with the stormwater. There's nothing up on that end of the community that I'm aware of for stormwater commands. There's catch basins, but again, they're what Terry refers to as bubblers. They take the water off the street, pipe it underneath the road, and then let it go back up to the surface and go down the road. It's my understanding that most of the water flows out and then through town and then, I don't know, pops up down on Broadway somewhere when you have a larger event.
Flows down Olympia and then kind of works it flows out.
Yeah.
They had a couple of those. They did put a bigger drain across 7th, but before it would just, that whole field would just, if it melted real fast, it'd come over 7th and go down Olympia and down to Broadway and through A&L Supply and right down to Main.
Yep, so that's going to take some significant work. The Lee Road is basically going to be building it up so the water can't flow across and saturate the road surface. That's what you're seeing, and a lot of that alligator cracking is a failure in your subsurface base. Priority four, Broadway, Elm to Columbia. That's jumping over, finishing out First Street and going north on Broadway and reconstructing this. From here down, this mirrors what your earlier transportation plans have looked like. This is out to 2019, so as these other projects progress, these will be reevaluated. So I'm just going to kind of run through these, and if there's any questions, we can talk about them. Road reconstruction, including ADA updates, sidewalks, another phase of Broadway, Lee to Main, East Concrete, SR 24 to the Port property. That south SR 24 industrial area, we've talked about this one several times. That includes reconstruction of east-west streets all the way from SR 26 to Bench Road. Anticipated work includes paving, water, sanitary sewer, stormwater, and groundwater infrastructure.
So as I see that, you guys have crossed the railroad tracks into there to tie into Moon Street?
Yeah, no, that's just a... Oops.
We tried doing that when we were doing that.
Yeah, maybe this one right here is what you're saying.
Wouldn't let us do it.
That's just a straight line. No, it would follow the curve of the tracks right there.
Okay.
I think based on the meeting we had last week, I think we were talking about maybe extending a water line. So that would be improvements going underneath the railroad track to this zone of light industrial in the comp plan.
So can we go back to priority five,
yes,
the
sir.
North Broadway industrial? Do you have any notes on that? Remember in committee we discussed the fact that the right-of-way has to be adjusted, the road has to be moved over.
I don't have any specific notes on it. This is going out several years. Yeah, we talked about the sidewalk improvements, right-of-way improvements. Those things that probably have to happen before we get particularly federal funding. TIB is a little bit more lenient. But, yeah. Now, this was discussions in regards to, was it the stormwater or sanitary sewer we were talking about there? And then
Sanitary sewer's there, but it would be basically the stormwater because you have to put in a collection system along the sidewalk once you move the right-of-way over.
Yeah, so if we can get it to gravity flow, I think we also talked about taking it down and trying to put it down at a lower elevation to get some gravity after it goes off the slope because we're kind of running out of topo right there. That sanitary sewer is 4.5 feet deep at Lee and Broadway. So I don't know if existing infrastructure down here could gravity sewer that area.
I just, you know, as a matter of priority, I think it would be, there's two very large industrial entities there that I'm sure Simplot would love to have the road out of their front door. You know, I'm sure they'd like to have it moved over and that be done, which they would be willing to contribute to. On the same note, McCain as well. So as far as funding and stuff, once you get a cost projection put together, you could give them a percentage of, you know, what the cost would be and get them to contribute.
So I think it would be a similar scenario to what we have on 14th right now, where we did the best we could with the funding and then did a proportional cost on those adjacent to the roadway.
But there's a potential to get funding there, to get a match funding for grant money by you know,
public partnership.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Broadway in general is priorities 4 and 5, so they just fall past First Avenue and Lee Road. So out of 13 projects, they're pretty high priority. I think that was recognized when we went through that. Anything else? We were here. 7th Avenue, This actually may end up happening before this because of the improvements or proposed improvements going down here on the Nygaard piece. And we're talking about utilities coming in on Columbia right now. Priority 9, Scutney Street West across railroad tracks. Priority 10, State Route 24 turn lanes and approach SR 26 overpass to Bench. We're currently in the midst of a traffic study there and up at SR 26th and 14th. Priority 11, citywide walk path. Priority 12, 14th Avenue and Highway 26 intersection. Again, we're doing a traffic study right now on that. And priority 13, 7th Avenue and Highway 26 overpass. So this is this has to be done every year. Next year we'll be going over this in the committee. Again, reprioritizing these, see where we're at. I'll try to leave the projects that are funded on there as being the top priority so you can see things rolling off the list as they get completed. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.
This time I'd like to open the portion of the public hearing for public testimony. Is there anybody here who would like to speak in support of the city's six-year transportation improvement plan? Is there anybody who would like to speak who is neutral to this proposal? Is there anybody who is in opposition of this proposal? Hearing none, I will close public testimony. And is there any additional information council would like? Then, yes?
I just to clarify, and I believe this is correct, but this is basically a living document. It can be adjusted and reprioritized at any point during the year, so it's not a set until next year, correct?
I think the top three priorities mm-hmm. are probably pretty set.
Well, yeah, as far as our priorities, but with the state, we can, if something all of a sudden was like, it had to be done, we had the money, it could be moved to number one and things bumped down. It's a living document that can be changed at any point in time.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Any other council information, questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public hearing at 6:49 p.m. and move to item 4.2. Resolution to adopt a six-year transportation improvement plan. I need a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Move to item 4.3, 14th Avenue Improvement Project for Stormwater.
Good evening, Council. I was asked at the last meeting to do a because I left some questions that or some confusion at the end of the last meeting, so I revised my presentation and added some water. The next item on the agenda is some water questions that were raised by John at the last meeting, so I'll go through this really quick and hopefully it'll be a little clearer this time. So to refamiliarize you, the project we're talking about the three properties, the Garza, Holson, and DDM, which is also the Michaels family. So the three projects, and CBHA is on this project or this site here, and Guadalupe Haven is in this location here, and this is Sage Stone, the future Olson project. And so I'm going to break it down property by property to help you understand how we arrived where we were. And essentially, the Olson property, and I'll go back one, Mr. Olson is looking at developing the property that is isolated by these two on the either end, and the problem that he's running into, and that is his sewer connection will have to run west, and his water needs to be looped, so he can come down both 12th and 11th, but it's the same main. So for him to get more than 24 connections, he needs to go to a looped system where he meets another main, and the closest main is either in, is actually in 7th. So that's what's pushing him having to go west and talk to the Garza Enterprises or the Garza family. So looking at each individual piece of property, so in this case, Olson Homes agreed to install the utilities in return for the easement or the right-of-way to connect to 7th. So that's what you're seeing here, the three lines, the water, the sewer. So the water in this case is being paid by Mr. Olson, although we are paying for some upsizing of the pipes, and that's not reflected here, but it's reflected in the numbers at the end. The storm water is also being connected across this property. Again, Mr. Olson is paying for the lion's share of that, but the city is paying for some upsizing to make the pipes bigger so that we can handle additional capacity to the east. And sewer, exact same thing. In this case, Mr. Olson is paying $46,000 approximately, and these are estimates. And the city will be paying for about $11,000 worth of upsizing and to deepen that line. And again, I note down here that those do not include the design costs and the taxes, so these numbers will be changing, but I wanted to give that to you. Now, Mr. Olson's property includes actually two parcels, and again, he will be paying for the water for his own project. We would only be paying for the upsizing of the pipe, because coming from the well that's on 7th, this is likely to be a main transition line for water to the east once it develops out. For the storm water, again, the increase in the cost here is because of the length of the pipe and the amount of work that needs to be done. So again, Mr. Olson will be paying a large portion of that, and in this case we are only paying for the upsizing of the storm water. And sewer, again, he's paying the large portion share, but the city is paying about $30,000 for the upsizing and the deepening during this length of project. And then lastly, this is the Michael property over to the east, and this is a little different because the DDM Enterprises has agreed with the city that they would dedicate the right-of-way in exchange for the sewer and the stormwater lines to be installed across the property. And so in this case, Mr. Olson is paying for zero of those costs because he doesn't need to do the connections to the east, only to the west. His effluent and his water is coming and going from the opposite direction. But we need this for the CBHA and the 14th Avenue and what's beyond that. So we are installing for the portion of stormwater that's connecting these two. And there's an asterisk there because that is... I'll get to that. So sewer, again, Olson is contributing zero, and we estimate it's going to be about $30,000 for the installation, in this case, the size and the depth that we need it, but we're doing the actual installation of these two utilities in return for the right-of-way that we needed from the Michaels. Now, the one question that was brought up last time is I did not include the water connection across the Michaels property, because theoretically Olson didn't need it. He's connected to the main in Gemstone and the main on 7th. But John brought up that it makes sense for us to install it across the property. So we've estimated, we've run an estimate, and it looks like it's gonna be about $23,000. Now, part of the reason why I didn't include it is because I had initially, when I talked to the Michaels, they said, we don't want the latecomers agreement, it's not worth it, we'll just put it in when we sell it, so that way it's not hanging over our heads the whole time. I since got this number, and I called the Michaels, and I told Devin, look, here's the number we're looking at, it is a substantial savings. If you have a problem with this, and you don't want to do it, and you don't think it's a good deal, you need to come on Monday night and let the council know that you don't want that latecomers agreement, because it would be a substantial savings if we did it while we were out there, or we made arrangements to get it done. by the contractors who were on site, and they, he said, okay, I fully understand that, and I'll think about it over the weekend, and doesn't look like he showed up today, so he must not have had a problem with this price or this estimate, given that it doesn't include, you know, potential mobilization costs and other things that he would have to pay if it was waited until. I also pointed out to him that that $23,000, theoretically, he would be able to divide that latecomers half to the north, half to the south, so it looks like a lot smaller number hanging over their head if and when they decide to sell those lots. So the fact that he hasn't shown up tonight doesn't tell me for sure that he's not concerned about it, but you can draw the same conclusion, or draw whatever conclusions you see fit out of the fact that he's not here tonight. So that breaks it up by the properties. What I've done now is I've kind of broken it up by utility. So the water line, it looks like the estimate would be about $110,000 for the total work. What would be coming from Olson Homes is about $75,000 of that. The city contribution is about $35,000. And that would pay for oversizing and the 400 feet that's missing. And of that, about $23,000 would be subject to latecomers agreement with the Michaels for that last 400 feet that we were going to construct for them. So for the stormwater, I've specifically labeled this as a potential task order for stormwater, because the total amount of work is going to be about $285,000. The Olson contribution that will be across the Olson property and the Garza property would be about $183,000. The city's contribution is $103,000, and that is for upsizing and for depth. And of that, we are estimating about $50,000 of that will come back to us, or we can use out of the grant funds because of the stormwater nexus. And we'll be able to use the 14th Avenue contractor, which will save us some money for mobilization because it's got that connection to 14th Avenue. And then finally, the sewer, and this was the issue that I hadn't explained very well, and Kelly has given us his advice that we really need to do this as a separate issue. We need to do the plans and go out for bid and hire somebody for this. So the estimate at this point is about $325,000. The estimate for Pete Olson for his contribution would be $203,000, which leaves the city contribution of about $122,000. That's largely for upsized pipes and the extra depth that we need to do to keep it going east. And I wanted to point out again that these do not include the taxes, the contingencies, and the designs. This is just the initial estimates that we've got. So for every dollar that you see up there, we're going to pay like 7.8% tax, 7.9% sales tax. Pete will be paying his portion, and we will only be paying that on ours. But assuming that the city takes on the responsibility to do this, Burrell and Associates will be able to do the design work for us as part of the work that they're doing for us. So in those cases, we might not recover any of those costs from Olson Homes, but it will be done by the city. So. Any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
So on that stormwater, can you do a change order for that amount of money? I mean, isn't there some percentage that you can go? I don't know if it's a question for Kurt or for you, or, I mean, is there?
No.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of there being a limitation on the size of the change order. The question really is, I mean, here we're changing the design of the stormwater, because the way it was originally designed right. by GNO is completely inadequate. And that's directly connected to the 14th Avenue project. So the change order is within the scope of the work.
Now, I didn't, when I was doing this research, I didn't see anything saying, you know, a change order has to be within a certain percentage. That's certainly something I can look at, but I haven't seen that. I'm comfortable that the stormwater, issuing a change order for the stormwater issues based on what we know about the flaw in the current design, we're okay. It's the water and the sanitary sewer that I think we need to go out to bid on. Because that is extra work out that wasn't contemplated in the original bid documents.
Okay. On the upsizing of the pipes and the depth, is there going to be a latecomer's fee for those on the east side of that circle when that gets developed, or east of the canal?
There is not. There will be connection charges to the system, but no, technically, the frontage or the connections that will be made directly to that pipe are the adjacent landowners. And what we're doing is we are essentially fast-tracking the construction costs for those pipes that would normally be borne by the developer at that point. So normally there isn't any downstream. You're starting to get into issues of like mitigation fees or impact fees. And unfortunately, without GMA...
Well, no, because you're upsizing because just in case the east side gets developed, right? You
yes.
want to have enough size there.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
And
we're paying for that.
Yeah, we're paying for it.
That additional upsizing.
Yeah, so that's why I said, is there a late...
Anybody to the east, they, all they got to do is hook up, so they're not going to pay that.
Just get a hookup fee?
You better get that right, Sean. Because those were the questions I was going to ask about the capital project that we did for well number 9. You're talking about charging the landowner by the linear foot for the pipeline that runs in front of his property. But that basically, they didn't ask to have that pipeline run across their property. But you're going to charge them, if they do any development, you're going to charge them for their share, cost share of that capital project. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what at least what you were saying in your document that you put on the deal. But also the city then, if they do develop and they do build a housing development or a hotel or whatever, if they need a 6-inch line, you're going to charge them $23,000 to hook a 6-inch line up under the city ordinances to that water line, in addition to making them pay for the water line that we actually put in under a capital to bring water into the city. So I'm trying to get my head wrapped around how we're getting away with all that.
Sure, and so it's a little bit off this agenda, and I think that the topic you're talking about, we actually pulled from the agenda for tonight. So what that is the city can set up assessment reimbursement areas. It's under 35 RCW 35-16-060, and it's similar to a latecomers agreement with a private developer. However, that provision allows you to do something similar when it's something that's completely funded by public dollars, such as the Well 9 project. So that allows the city, if the city so chooses, and this is something that has to be imposed by council, not staff, so it wouldn't happen without it being brought before you guys. But if for people who are going to develop property where they need to, and they want to connect into that line, the city can set up a system where they need to pay a pro rata share in order to connect this, or they got to pay a pro rata share of the cost for installing that water. And we do sewer there too?
Yep.
Water and sewer there. And that's something that the council can do. And that would be in addition to any other charges there would be under the ordinance, under your normal connection charges for the ordinance. That's something that you can do. You don't have to do it, but it's something in your discretion. If you guys vote on it, you could do.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking for clarification for myself personally, because what it looks like is we're as a city, we're profitizing from putting in a project, a capital project, to benefit the city, to get another well online, and then now we're asking the landowners that the line runs across, because, I mean, guys, we needed the water, and we needed to put the line in, and we brought it into the city. Now we're going to ask the landowners to pay for that. And when I was adding up the numbers, I didn't get it, but it was probably in excess of what the capital project was, just looking at the numbers. Then if we go ahead and let people hook up to it, if they do a development and they do hook up to it, and they do, you know, a 6-inch line or a 4-inch line or a 2-inch line, I mean, you've got incremental costs underneath an ordinance to just hook up to it. So in excess of what the capital costs for the city to even put in, the landowners are going to pay the city back. And then on top of that, we're going to get more money from them for hooking up to it.
Double.
To, you know, so it kind of looks like we're profitizing or profiting, you know, from that capital that we put in to bring water to the city.
So you're saying we're double charging because we're charging them to put the line through the property, and we're charging them to hook it up?
I'm just trying to get my head around all the costs that we're associating with a capital project that was paid for. It's done and over with. We had the money in the water and sewer. We had to put a well in. We needed the water. And now we're trying to get paid back for that by charging the landowners. And then if there's a development and somebody hooks up to it, they're going to pay by the ordinance for the hookup charge.
Okay, so basically my response is, go ahead, Travis.
Sure. The one thing I would point out in that is, the well line was paid for by the current citizens and the current ratepayers and the current users of the system. And the pipe that is going out to well line, in one sense, does serve them because it provides additional water pressure. However, the additional capacity required by that well was a result of new development as opposed to the existing citizens who were already in town paying those rates. And so it is kind of a catch-22 in that it does serve some public good, but it also is in effect driven by growth. And so it's a way for growth to pay for growth.
But then also, if you want to look at it in that respect, we're a city.
Sure.
We provide a potable water system for the city of Othello. We put ourselves in jeopardy last summer by not having enough water. We shut down business. We have a fiduciary obligation to them to provide them with water so that they can make a living.
Yeah.
So we went out and we punched another hole in. It had nothing to do with, we had saved that money up and we had a plan to grow our water supply system already under the current users. So
I think we're getting away from
it. Yeah, I think that's
yeah, basically,
I understand what you're saying.
I guess the thing is that it's the council will make that decision, and it's a it's a business and a philosophical decision at the same time. Basically, the city wants to grow, and the city's going to need as much money, and you're well aware of the scenarios that we're working with to acquire water, surface water, and additional water supply. So I see this as an attempt to help supplement that by but with a cost recovery in the future. It won't be immediate, but I think that is a decision that the council is going to make, whether they want to, you know, I mean, I understand completely. We had saved the money. The council had budgeted that project, and they did the project. And the water is now in the city, and we now have access to that. And so what we're looking at, though, are some really long-term plans, because we recognize the jeopardy that, you know, we face not only in the short term, but if you look at what is being planned just currently, we already need more water than what we have than what we probably can supply in order to handle all of the interest that is being shown right now to come to Othello. So that's a decision the council's going to need to make. And so I would suggest that every one of you examine this information. If you need to talk to Travis, if you need to talk to Terry, Kurt, Wade, I would encourage you to do that if you want to check with other cities about what, you know, how do they handle this type of arrangement. I encourage you all to do that. But this, it's a tremendous question that John's asking here, because what it is it gets to the heart of what direction is the city going to go in, and how are we going to pay for our future water? What are we going to do? Are we going to ask citizens to, or you know, in this scenario that we talked about, are we going to ask them to contribute to that as well? So those are things that are, that it's a future decision. It's not a today decision. And I encourage everybody to, you know, gather some information, do some research on your own, and make a good decision for the city. Because, you know, you guys, I have to admit, everybody here on this council has done a very good job of making some very good decisions over the last number of years. And as you're well aware, we are moving forward to allow and do the things and place the infrastructure in place to allow the city to grow like we set out in our comprehensive plan. So with that said, I think we need to continue on with our agenda, and this information here that you're giving us, Travis, is there any other questions that anybody has or anything else?
At this point, no, it was just informational. We still working on developing the bid documents for the sewer, and we can work on a change order for the water if that's what you so instruct us to do. Okay. Or no, I'm sorry, for the stormwater.
Okay. I know part of this affects the Garza family, and I wondered if you wanted to talk at this point, or do you want to move, or were you more concerned about where would this cost for the Columbia Street water main?
That's why I asked before.
So I want to give you that chance.
Yeah.
Would you rather?
But so you're not going to have to say you're not going to vote, right, on this continuing until you do some homework. Is that correct? Until the council decided to agree on this.
Okay.
My question was going to be, what is it going to cost?
I want to clarify some things, because I think some of this is confusing and is only known to the council. They're talking about the well 9 and the lines coming in past property owners on well 9. They weren't talking with regard to this that Travis was talking to, which comes across your property. Okay. So there was a separation there in the conversation.
Right. And that's what I was going to ask regardless. I know the two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend John for bringing that up. That's excellent. So,
mm-hmm.
If I could, there is one point that Lolo and I had discussed previously. And that is, if you remember, our original design actually brought it up and brought the S-curve on the Garza property because of the amount of the fill that was down here. And part of that was to make sure that we stayed out of that fill bed. And because of the new design, that S-curve doesn't occur until it actually gets on the Olson property. And Varela and Associates is working on getting some of the geotech report for the soil so that we can figure out where the groundwater is within that alignment, so that when this project goes ahead and they're doing the plans for us, that we know what we're up against out there. And the issue came up with Lolo is we hadn't really talked about it or thought about it before, and that is some of that fill material that we may have to go through may include some construction debris, and how we're going to clear that right-of-way for the trenching. And I have no idea whether that's going to be, you know, a ditch witch that just makes a small trench, or whether it's going to have to be 5 feet wide. And if it's 19 feet deep and there's piles of debris kind of at the top of that trench questioning stability, that may affect the price of the actual dirt moving. And because there's some question about the ability or the stability of that fill above the ground, I'm not sure that we necessarily can include that as part of the work that the city would subsidize because we're going extra deep, or whether that's something that Pete assumes that he's going to have to deal with that when he puts in the water in the sewer or the water line, or whoever does the sewer. So that's something that we hadn't, that I hadn't anticipated. And when I talked to the Garzas, I said, yeah, your utilities won't cost you anything because Pete is going to pay for them all, because the assumption all along was that Pete needed those, he was going to have to do it. So I may have misspoke, because his utilities may be paid for by Pete, but if Pete's unwilling to pay to move that debris or that construction debris that's on the surface, it may not technically be free for Garza's Enterprises.
So run us through a scenario how that might play out. Kurt?
Well, it's going to be the depth of the debris probably not going to need it. So, I mean, if we get in there, a couple things happen. We have construction debris. Number one, the physical obstacle of that debris, if it's too large and you need to move it. The other thing is typically they don't put it in lifts and compact it. So you can get some long-term differential settlement as well. I mean, I think you can imagine what a fill looks like. They come in with dump trucks and they dump next to each other. So you end up getting these, you know, 6-foot fill cross sections. So the worst case scenario is, I don't know how thick it is, but you'd go down to or near existing grade and then come back up and lifts and compact the fill for the pipe. Right now, the sanitary and the storm sewer would be 8 to 9 feet, not excessively deep down there. I have no idea how deep the fill is. I don't know if anybody does. Do you guys?
Yeah, it's about 12, 15 foot deep.
Oh.
In some places, where this alignment is, it may not be that deep. One of my assumptions is we might just be able to get a bulldozer to push it off to the side, and then we wouldn't necessarily have to worry about compacting it, because ultimately whatever the Garzas want to do with the property, they can compact it or remove it or build around it, would be entirely up to them. I don't know that we necessarily need to include the solution as part of this project at this point. It would almost be easier to just push a lane through for them to trench under, and then when they finish the trenching, they just compact it down, and if the Garzas want to respread it, that would be theoretically up to them. Well, although at that point it would be right of way, so Terry might not necessarily want them doing that. But now the other option is Pete might have included that in his estimate, or the Garzas could hire somebody to do that for them, or theoretically as part of the project we could theoretically figure out what those grading costs would be and show them that figure, and if it's not too outrageous, they may accept it as a latecomers agreement on the property. So it might not technically cost them anything now, but it would just be a future commitment to repay for the effort it takes to move that material. So there are ways to solve this. I don't know that we have the numbers or have to solve that right now.
So obviously you brought down Columbia to meet with the existing Columbia that goes down to First, right?
Yeah.
Hold on, Scott.
Sean, if I may, I want to clarify that.
Do you want to come to the microphone,
sure,
please?
I want to clarify that nothing in life is free. I think you guys understand that. And when the word came up free, we in turn are given a right of way, and property has value. So I want to make that clear. We're not getting a pipeline for free. Okay? That's the only thing I wanted to make known.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anything further on this 14th Avenue Improvement Project? Moving on to item 4.4, cost for the Columbia Street water main.
Sorry, that was 4.4.
That was 4.4.
You combined that they were.
Okay.
You got right into it.
Then we'll move on to item 4.5, purchase of phone recording system. Chief?
This will be a lot easier than that. When we had the, Mayor and Council, thank you. When we had the budget presentation last year, we put out to Council that we needed a new voice logger recorder for our police radios, telephones, and all that. In order to accomplish this and find a system that we like, that we think will meet our needs, we also brought in front of you the HTA buy, which was that competitive bid process that in Texas. This proposal that's in front of you is from First Line Business Systems out of Seattle, which is the rep for NICE, N-I-C-E, which is the recorder system that we've selected. We have a price that it is the bid price, and it's $15,250. It's within the budget that we put in front of Council last year, and we're asking Council's approval to purchase.
To accept that bid?
Yes.
And is there any Council questions?
That doesn't have to go out to a number of people for bid. We can just...
No, sir. It's actually been competitively bid through this HTA. It's like a government GSA, you know, or those different...
like for the patrol cars and stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Need a motion?
Make a motion for the purchase of the NICE informed professional voice logging system.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.6, All Cities Classic Show Resolution and Facility Use Agreement. Amy?
Good evening. I'm here to talk to you guys about the All Cities Classic Car Club Show and Spud Run. It's an evening and day-long event on the 15th of July. They will have a Spud Run down Main Street. It's like slow drags. It's the same that we've had year after year. We set it up like a parade, so we'll close down Main Street and for a certain number of hours, about an hour in fact or so, we'll go down up and down Main Street. And then we follow the next day by the actual classic car show itself at Kiwanis Park. They have shelter, the large picnic shelter at Kiwanis Park. That's the only shelter that is included in this, so the other shelters at the park would be available for rental for any other citizens who are interested to do so. It's really no different than it ever has before, so I don't know if you guys have any questions about it. It's pretty cut and dry.
Great event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's actually one of the few events that we have that actually brings in tourism, so it's very nice to have something like that. It brings people in from all over the area. So. Yeah.
Kelly, you reviewed the agreement?
I have. It looks fine.
Okay, good. Thank you, Amy. Any questions, Council? To entertain a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
You going to put some cars in, Angel?
I'm going that way.
You are.
I missed it twice now.
Okay, so 4.7, petty cash resolution. Spencer, you had warned us about this, and now you have a resolution.
And here we go. Yeah, we have a resolution that establishes various petty cash and change funds around the city. We have a couple, like our change drawers up front counter are $200 each. We have 300 petty cash. We have two $100 change funds for the pool, one for admissions, one for concessions. The city's recently asked the Parks and Rec, asked Amy to run the ball field concession stand. And so we needed to create another change fund to allow her to run that concession stand. Up until now, for these last 2 weeks, we borrowed $100 from the city petty cash that we hold here in the city vault. And if this is something that we're going to go forward with, we should really establish its own petty cash fund. The dollar that we thought was appropriate was $150, and what this ordinance does is everything is left the same, just add that other $150 for a total of $25.50 as opposed to $24.00. With that, we have, this is the resolution for your consideration.
Questions?
Amy, is that enough for you? Is that what you decided on?
Yeah, that was exactly what I asked for.
Okay.
$100 is a little difficult to work with, just if somebody comes in and pays for a dollar hot dog with a $20 bill.
Yeah.
Your change goes really quick. And at the pool, we have each other's registers to kind of buy change back and forth from, but don't fall for it, sort of, you know, on your own limit. So $150 should be more than enough to make it work.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Pat.
Jane, a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. Move to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any? Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. We had made that change. Okay, so we're going to go to item 4.8, which is the First Avenue Improvement Project acceptance. Mark?
I just looking down there, and there's a couple things. It probably wasn't in the bid or anything, but there is one section of curb that slopes down like this. The pavement comes down like that, and after it rains, you got a big puddle in our street, and it's just done. Plus, none of that is crack sealed, so. All that water, I mean, we talked to it about that a couple weeks ago, not on this project, but we talked about crack sealing and along the edge in the gutter.
The street in the gutter?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, it needs to be,
that's where your water is running. Mm-hmm. And so we have that crack along there, you know, so that's not crack sealed. None of the utilities are crack sealed or the manholes, around the manholes. Is this not part of the project, or?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I know that comment was made, it was my understanding they went back and did it, but I think the comment was referring to the cold road down the center of the road. Did you notice that that got crack sealed?
I didn't. Just.
When I leave, I'll go drive and I'll look at it.
But all of those things should be crack sealed, because those are just areas of infiltration for water to get into the work base.
Right. I'll look at the contract.
I mean, like all the like Olson Home, Palos Verdes, those are everything's, you know, crack sealed in all those places. The city does a lot of it during the year. We hire somebody to do that, but I mean that should be part of the project. And the upcoming streets, if it's not in that one, it should be in the upcoming ones also.
Well, it should be on that one.
Yeah, it should be.
Should get done.
It,
yeah. Now, how about the curbs? I've noticed that there's some crack curbs, there's some chip curbs. They're the old ones. So we're resurfacing that, but yeah, we're leaving the old stuff behind. Does that, is that going to get replaced?
No, the new project is completed. So that project was done, I think it was 2014 was designed and went out for funding at that point in time, I assume. Staff and your current engineer walked it, identified the areas that were failing. Those areas were replaced in the contract. In fact, there wasn't even enough funding to go to complete the project, as opposed to we had to go back and get additional funding. But,
so that was a DNL project?
Yes.
So do all the corners meet the ADA
yes,
compliance?
Sir.
They all do?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Another question. Hoping they're right.
On that project?
Not on that project, but I'll...
Okay, so let's finish, yes. Let's finish this agenda item and then we'll go on to... Okay. Okay.
So do we need to check on those things before
okay.
we approve this?
Okay, so yeah, can you guys walk me through then the process. So we're basically, this was set to pay. So now we have a question from a council member, and we've had discussion. And so it appears that there's some questions on the contract and whether it was fulfilled. So,
What I don't understand, like on First, is how we can resurface, and we're going to have, what's a lifeline on a resurface, 15, 20 years, 30 years? I don't know what it is. Do you know, Kurt?
They usually do a 20-year design study on it, but I don't know what they did on that.
I just don't understand why we're paving for 20 years and all the existing curbs are staying there. They're cracked. If I have a little chip like that in my development, they make me take it out.
Yeah. So it's money. So as soon as you add ADA ramps to a grinding overlay that is similar to First Avenue, it doubles the cost of the project. When you start replacing all the curb, you know, it probably adds another 30% to the project. So I can't speak of what they were looking at when they made the decisions of what to replace and what not to replace at that time. But staff and your engineer walk those and they evaluate the best.
They prioritize
what you can spend. And, you know, as soon as you start pulling off all the sidewalks and all the curbs, you know, a little project becomes a $1 million project and you can't get funding, and then we're sitting here talking about where are we going to get the funding to replace it. So it is a value statement based on what you're looking at the time. You know, you get a scratch on your car, you repaint the whole car, or you let it go. And six people review a street, you're going to get six different designs or six different decisions regarding them. This curb is acceptable
or it's not acceptable. I wasn't there. I didn't walk. I didn't identify
what curbs got replaced or didn't get replaced, so I can't specifically comment on those.
Was there somebody here from GNO overlooking the project?
No, we did.
You guys did?
Yes.
Okay. So you're kind of in a bad position. Because now you're having to sign off on completion of this project and bring it in front of us for payment.
Yes.
And I really don't want this to sound bad, but you're telling me that you don't understand or know what the project included. Because if there's crack sealing that needs to be done and it didn't get done, then how can you authorize it to be completed?
I just checked, or I emailed and got back. It was not included in the contract.
Okay. So that wasn't included.
But we can
and
have
replacement of curbs and stuff, that wasn't included. So from what you know about the project and what was covered in the GNO engineering, you're coming to us and saying that that was completed?
Yes. It's been walked by staff and our inspector and our engineer that was responsible in charge of that project, and they agreed it was done per plans and specs.
I can kind of answer you a little bit on the curb thing. It's probably just like we did with streets. When you go out to rate a street and count how many cracks, and you're looking for a percentage. So they're probably looking at how deteriorated it was, what percentage it was. So they could triage it and prioritize them and say, yeah, these need to be taken out.
The cracks are cracked. The water's going to go through there.
Does it matter? If you've got one that has no curb left because it's completely crumbled and one that has a little chip out of it, a little chip's probably not a priority. The crumbling one is. So if they only had so much money to do the project and they had to go through and prioritize,
my opinion is, if we have to do two streets less, look for the good streets and leave them like that, and let's get it done right. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving forward with the STIP program that we just went over tonight,
yes.
I think that it would be relevant to advise Varela to look at doing crack sealing and curb replacement as much as possible in those future projects.
Yeah, can I suggest, Councilman, that we the crack sealing, I think that was a no-brainer, should have been.
Yeah.
That couldn't have cost very much more. The curb, though, I think the evaluation of the curbs based on what we get money from TBD or whoever and what we can afford, you know, right now, the section at First that was done is, it looks pretty good. We've got a lot of good comments from citizens about that. Of course, the people who do this stuff for a living look at it with a different eye and go, wait a minute. But for the most part, you have the street part is going to last for a while. So for what we can afford to do, my suggestion would be for when we do the next section of it, to present two options and say, okay, if you want to do the whole enchilada, like you're suggesting, Councilman Garza, and everything's going to cost this much. If you want to do what really needs to be replaced and can last for a while, it's going to cost this much. And then let council make up their minds whether we can go forward with the project because it's going to cost this much, or say, no, you ain't going to do it. I would suggest that you ask your constituents, your folks that voted you in, and say, would you like a street you can drive on for the next 20 years, and maybe with a couple of curves that aren't quite pristine, or would you like the whole thing to be pristine? You know, and then vote on it that way. Yeah. But at least have Morella give us the options, or give you all the options.
Well, sometimes if you just declare it, if you just come out and say, look, we know we have some curbs that need to be fixed at some point in time down the road, but
and that's
can't
what I'm saying.
Afford to do it.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And had we known what he just told us earlier, we probably would, you already had the, you know, you got the answer tonight. That wasn't included, and neither were the curbs, so.
But now we'll know that. He knows that. That'll go in the bid items now. Right.
Well, and we can might be able to just have the 14th Avenue guy come over and do it. It's the same funding, so I think we'll get it taken care of. The other thing, too, I wanted to point out, similar to what Mr. Ferris was saying, is you do have these committees, and, you know, it's our goal to sit down with the committees and go over these projects, and, you know, if it takes getting out of the public works and walk these projects before we go out to really articulate the wants and needs of the community, you know, I think that's what we need to do as well.
Appreciate the offer, Kurt.
Yeah.
So then we need to vote on whether to pay this first or to accept the First Avenue Improvement Project.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, because we have it off the consent. So now we got. Now I need a motion.
I'll make the motion. They finished the job that they were hired to do.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't included in the thing. I second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Do you have something else?
Yeah, I kind of want to know when you get a guy, a builder, or somebody building on a, you know, on a corner, you know, he's got to put a sidewalk in, fix the ADA ramp, but yet you have to go across the street and fix whatever's on the other side of the street. Why is that happening? I'm talking over here on First and, what is it, Pine?
Cedar.
So he built some apartments there?
Yes, sir.
He's putting a sidewalk. He's got to put a sidewalk.
Yes, sir.
Fixed his ADA ramp?
Yeah.
So he's got to go across the street and fix the other lot. I don't know if that belongs to the show house. I just need to know what's the rule of thumb here in Otavo. Why would I have to go across the street and fix that ADA ramp?
So the guidance, and if you know something different, Kelly, you can correct me. The guidance given by the ADA, American Disability Act, says that you have to make the proper modifications to allow disabled people to utilize that facility. They've gone on since in 2010 and clarified some of that guidance, and it says that you cannot direct a handicapped person into a roadway without giving them the ability to leave the roadway. So,
but I think that was ADA already, but just it did not meet the standards, right? It was ADA already.
Yeah, it has to meet the standards.
Huh?
They're saying that if you build one on your side of the road and you put them out in the road, you've got to leave it in
the
road.
Yeah. And it's got to meet standards for them to get off the road. So that's probably.
So can he come back and recoup that when somebody develops that other side?
Go down six blocks and put one.
Well, that'd just be reflected in the purchase price.
Yeah. You know, you go down six blocks, there's probably one.
So if that ADA ramp's fixed, right, and you go down 20 feet and that sidewalk's lifted about 2 inches because it's offset, whose liability is that? Just a question.
Property owner.
That depends on the city. I'll say it's 50-50, whether it's the city's responsibility for the condition of the sidewalk or the resident who lives on the sidewalk, but that, sometimes that goes back to the residents. I'll say 50% of the community.
I can answer that question, and I can answer Corey's question too. So, but I'll answer yours first, then I'll get back to Corey. Well, that depends. I mean, there's lots of lawsuits over sidewalk trip and falls against municipalities. And actually, in the state constitution, providing sidewalks and whatnot, it's a there's a constitutional right in there, in the Washington State Constitution. Lots of cities have ordinances that put that the duty of maintaining sidewalks onto the landowner, and they try to put the responsibility onto the landowner. However, if it's a city sidewalk, the city is responsible, ultimately is the one responsible for the safety of the sidewalks. And the city has an ongoing duty to inspect its sidewalks and identify tripping hazards, you know, not tripping hazards that people put there, but cracks, uneven surfaces that happen from settling or uplifting from tree roots. City has an obligation to be aware of that. So if you have a dangerous condition that's existing for, you know, over a couple of weeks, then the city has some exposure to liability there if it's a city-owned sidewalk or a sidewalk in the city right away.
But my understanding was that it's still a property owner's responsibility. Now, if we go through and redo the whole road, then we're supposed to bring stuff up to code. But then it's just that I always thought, according to our code, RCW, or whatever, that it's the property owner's responsibility then to correct those defects.
Not if it's a city sidewalk. It would.
So how do you determine a city sidewalk versus a property owner? What do we got? Maine? Is that city?
Well, if it's on a roadway, if it's on a city right of way, that's going to be a city sidewalk. If it's on private property, it's going to be a private landowner sidewalk.
Let us research that some more. We'll get back to that.
But it's kind of a
hard there. But there's lots of city ordinances.
It's really weird. When I walk to the theater the other night from our house,
you've got
10 feet of sidewalk, and then you don't have any, and then 100 feet down, you've got another 10 feet.
Let me get all the facts.
But Corey, to answer your question on those ADA ramps, there isn't going to be something where somebody who buys the property or develops the property later is going to be able to recoup that cost unless the landowner who did the ADA improvements has some kind of latecomers agreement with the city. And I don't know for ADA ramps you can do that, because usually latecomer agreements are for utilities. I don't think they apply to things like that. So I don't think so. They have to recoup it in the purchase price or, you know, sale price of the property.
Okay.
That'll be tough.
Any others? Unfinished? Before I go on to new business, I just want to announce that the 4th of July is a week from today, and a full slate of events starting with the sun run at 7:15 or 7:30, and then, of course, the Rotary Breakfast at 8, the parade at 10, flag raising at 11:15, entertainment throughout the afternoon. There's a lip sync battle, which I've signed all the council up to be. Okay, I didn't sign the council up, but that is in the evening. There's a Bethel Youth is going to perform. They're going to have a worship service. The Kayla Garza is going to perform for an hour. There's kids games, cakewalks, lots of fun, and then they're going to finish it off with a fireworks display. There's also a soccer, youth soccer tournament. There's lots of food vendors, so encourage the council to make an appearance. Thank the people who in the Chamber of Commerce for putting this together, and Amy for being there 24/7, right, Amy? Okay, good. Under new business, our workshop, since the 4th of July is next Monday, we're going to have our workshop Tuesday night on the 5th. And then...
I won't be here, Sean.
Okay. Moving on to item 7, council will receive department head reports.
Sean, sorry, I have some new business.
You got more?
Skate park.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. So I've been at the skate park, and today with Terry this afternoon, there's every possibility that the skate park itself, with the exception of the bricks and the memorial for Dan, will be completed on Friday. That includes pushing the dirt back and getting some sod laid. So, your fingers crossed, that's what the contracts are shooting for, this Friday, the 1st. That'll take down the orange fencing and everything else. And skateboarders, I'm told by Amy, have already been out there trying it out. Yeah, so it's hard to...
Looking out my window, there's 15 to 20 skateboarders out the last three nights.
Right, so there we go. Yeah. And just FYI, you know, the committee voted on it, gave us advice on coloring the stuff. It cost about $11,500, but that was still within budget. Okay, so we did a change order. And it kept us within budget, but well within budget. So we got color in, and thanks to Councilman Garza and for the advice there, and Councilman Darrell on that coloring and what we can use. So it should come out really nice. And so that's the update on the skate park.
Thank you. So we'll move to item 7. We'll receive the department head reports, item point 1. And then item 8, we'd like to go into executive session, and I anticipate we'll take some action after the executive session. So I would like Spencer to remain, and if the council would please prepare for the staff would prepare for the executive session, I'll adjourn to executive session at 7:48 p.m. 15 minutes. Okay, we are back in session at 8:03 p.m. and after an executive session to discuss the performance of a public employee, the subject of that executive session was discuss the performance of Travis Goddard, our community development director. The city is extremely pleased with the performance of Travis in the approximately a year and a half that he's worked for the city. He demonstrated tremendous leadership in helping the city through a process of a updating of our comprehensive plan, which hadn't been done in 20 years. He has been able to secure approximately $300,000 in grant money to the city for various projects that he's has helped maintain and move the city forward, and we're just very pleased with the service of Travis. So at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to increase his salary and benefit, a couple of side benefits. Does somebody want to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Okay. The nature of that motion is that the salary would be increased to $90,000 a year, that he would be given an allowance for telephone, and that he would be able to drive a city vehicle to and from his personal residence while he's employed for the city. We have that motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And with that, with no further business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:05 p.m.
Can I say, I appreciate that.